Today's message is God will find a way. God will find a way. My text is Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. I'm going to read that to you guys. He says, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even take the roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God says, "I am going to do something new." And the way that he phrases it is that he's currently working on something new. And I love that he says, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the past." When we think about it, in summary, the new thing that God promised to do is show us a way out of the spiritual deserts and wilderness that we find ourselves in. So a lot of times, we're almost blinded by what's in front of us, and we can't necessarily see all the good things that God has to offer. And he's saying is, "I want to do something new in your life. I want to restore you. I want to bring you to new places." See, God will make a way when there seems that there is no way. So sometimes we feel trapped in situations that are not easy or don't have good solutions. Sometimes solutions don't present themselves, but this is when we need to claim God and rely on God to claim that truth in his promise that he will do something new. And these testimonies that we're hearing today, and there's a lot of us that are kind of roadblocked, we're not 100% sure what's going to occur. Well, that pressure from that situation can cause us to have this stress that stops us from being able to see the bigger picture. You know, when we put our blinders on and we don't step back and look at God's perspective, that God can do anything, right? And Matthew's what? "With God, nothing is impossible." And that's the kind of mind frame, that's the kind of faith that I want to have in my daily life. I want to wake up in the morning and think to myself that I serve the eternal God, that anything is possible. Anything is possible. I just need to stay in my lane. I need to do my role. I can't allow these other things to push me out of the way. And during this time frame, the southern kingdom of Judah was facing a very difficult time. The Babylonians had taken them captives and made them slaves. But the Lord God gave to the children of Israel a positive and uplifting message of hope, saying that message of hope can be our message of hope today. So you figure they're entrapped, they're enslaved, they can't see past what they're going through. But really, God was trying to show them that this spiritual wilderness is really kind of the wilderness that they're in, because we're always at that T in the road. Am I going to accept God's will for my life and do what God recommends me to do in my life down this road? Or am I at this T where I'm going to decide that I know what's best for me still? Right? Because I know that I've made that decision so many times in my life where situations come up. I take that road that I think that my experience says this is how I should handle that without praying about it. Well, these guys were so conflicted that they could no longer see that. And so number one is that we must put the past behind us. We have to let the past behind us. The prophet Isaiah tells us in verse 18 two things that they need to do. A, forget the former things. What were the former things that he was referring to? Kind of what we just talked about. Verse 16 refers to the parting of the sea and deliverance from Egypt, where the Jews and Isaiah is writing to focus the miracle of God on their life, the people, so much that it became a blinder to see what God could do. So what happened is in my mind, my mindset, if I put myself in their shoes, but if I relate that to me today, if I put myself in my mindset, that means that I've already determined what I want God to do for me. Right? And this happens a lot. This happens a lot where a lot of us have things in our lives where we've kind of like, well, this is where I want God to take me. This is the path that I want God to take me down, right? But see, he's the author and perfecter of faith, not me, right? So if I'm grabbing the wheel and I'm saying that this is the path that I got to go down when God is already creating a new path for me, but I'm not taking his path, but I keep finding my path to be quite a struggle, right? It just keeps reiterating me, right? More detours, more detours, more detours. And the question is, how many detours do we want to take? Some of my detours were eight do fours. Some of my detours were another eight do four, another detour that was facing 45, right? I had detours in relationships that failed that God restored later on. Like, look, how many different types of detours can we take? It was like, we got God's way, we got our way. We got God's way, we got our way. But how do we look at it? That's the question. How am I looking at it right now? Am I expecting God to take me exactly somewhere to where I'm more in control of it than He is? Because that can't be the case. The real way to function in this is to have that faith that God's plotting the way. He's mowing down the fields. He's cleaning out the yard. He said in this verse, I'll make a roadway in the wilderness, straight through the trees. I'll make rivers in the desert. And what he's referencing, he's saying that no matter what you need in your life, I have the ability to provide that. If you're in the desert, I'll put water with you. If you're trapped in a forest, I'll knock it down. Because I am God. Right? That's the whole thing. Put in God, like we serve a God that controls everything, that is empowered to do anything. But the thing is, I have to remove my weak mindset and say, what is it that God has in store for me? Well, initially, we talked about many other messages as application. Just when I begin to understand the word, when the word encourages me to move in the right direction, I listen, right? It doesn't make me special. It doesn't make me, you know, anything really. It's just the fact that if God is teaching me something, I want to go in that direction. I want to follow that direction. And when I take hold of that, that's the path that he's putting water in the desert. That's the path that he's knocking the trees down. It's a spiritual path. Amen? We're going to look a little closer at that. The blessing of God was a double-edged sword. One side of the blade was the wonderful truth that God had intervened in the life of the Jews and delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. The other side of the sword was that they needed to forget the past so that God could keep working in their future. So you ever talk to somebody and they talk about the good old days but they always talk about the past and the good old days. They remember these good old times, but they're stuck there. They can't think about the now. In the future. Well, that was the problem with the Israelites. After they had gone through all that, when they finally got out, they still weren't really fully functioning. They were just released from it. But see, now they were held captive in their own hearts from their mistakes that they had made, from their experiences that they had. And they allowed that experience and frustration in their lives to rule over their current decisions. And when I think about that today, and I think about us, how much baggage do we have in the past? How much stuff did we do over the course of the years that we're allowing to direct us today? Because that's exactly what we want to get rid of. The fact is, we don't have to continue to be accountable for a mistake that we made 10 years ago. You just don't. I don't care what that mistake was. If you're in Christ now, you've been alleviated from that. Right? Even if it was ongoing, if you made that change, you can be freed from that. So number two is... Excuse me. Do not dwell on the past. The second truth was that Isaiah was teaching the people not to dwell on past mistakes. Their forefathers had rebelled against Moses on Mount Sinai, and they failed to have the faith in God to provide the food and water in the desert, which failed to seize the opportunity to conquer the promised land. They never received it. So the keys to dealing with these mistakes is to recognize them, learn from them, and move on. Proverbs says, if you're looking behind you, you can't see where you're going. Amen, right? Right? We need an enactment, you know, have somebody look this way and walk that way and just see what happens. You know, but he's saying, like, that's what we're doing with our lives. When we allow these past things in our lives to affect the way that we think today negatively, what's happening is almost, you know, driving a car like this, you know? You know what I mean? It's only going to go so far. You're going to find something. You know, it's just as silly. It's just we don't want to allow things from our past to take hold of us. So if you don't know what your past is like, but most people have regrets, mistakes, problems, they would like to forget about that and keep it out of their mind. For some, it's a divorce. Others, it might be a loss of job, health issue. For someone else, it might be a broken relationship. But we all take these things personally and on different levels. So whatever it is, we ask God to put our past behind us. And that's ultimately what we need to do. If there's things from our past that are dominating and controlling us, the present is not as cheerful and positive because they can't move beyond what happened in the past. Right? So we got to pray about that. Bring that to the table. And so maybe you've already tried praying about it. Maybe it was time we get together and talk. We got mentors, presence. We can always spend time together, one-on-ones, and do things, you know, with us, but or help from a friend. Maybe you need to forgive someone. Maybe there's something that you didn't do, but someone else did to you that you're holding on to. And that holding on to that infraction that somebody else put on you is causing you damage to move forward, or me damage to move forward. I know that I had a lot of things happen to me growing up, to be honest, and it took a long time. I was in my mid-20s before I really believed in my mind that I had finally let it go. And the one thing that I knew that I had let it go was because when it was ever brought up, my first response out of my mind was negative, right? The minute they brought up this individual, my mind would go straight to, rah, 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 rah. I'd be yo, Sammy Salmon, right? Well, the truth is, if I poke the bear and the bear barks, then there's something there. You know what I mean? So maybe it's forgiveness that we need to forgive someone else. Maybe it's forgiving ourselves. But ultimately, we need to trust that God has a path before us, especially in uncertainty. So in verse 19, the Lord says, I am doing something new. And I said, let me embellish on the phrase I. When we talk about the eternal creator, Elohim, right? We're talking about God, the creator of everything. You know, and that's one of the most important things that we need to keep in perspective when we talk about our faith, is that I'm not serving, you know, like this isn't the word of a friend. This isn't the word of a boss. This isn't the word of a mentor. This is the word of God, right? Amen. It's above everything else that we're exposed to. It's just so important for us to understand that God has the power. Verse 15, he gives several titles of himself that carry significance. I am the Lord is famous for Yahweh. And what it is it's a personal name for God. It's the representation of God that allows us to draw near to him. God himself is the one that's going to take action, you know. And that God Almighty is personally involved in our lives. And that's what we have to understand. When God is involved, it's so much different than our own promises. God's promises are not our promises. He isn't going to send an angel or a prophet. He himself is going to get involved. So your Holy One, the God that is holy and calls us to holiness, is telling us it is a sin to worry about fret or worry about the past or even the future, because it's a lack of our confidence in what he's willing to do. That's kind of a mindset and an argument that many different people present. I'm not going to stand on it too tough, but I think about it like this. But I do understand that if I'm worrying and worrying and worrying and worrying about the future, I'm not activating my faith, right? I mean, that does make sense to me. Like if I'm worried and worried and worried and worried, worried about something coming, then I'm not acting in my faith. Because if I'm acting in my faith, I'm not afraid of anything. Whether it be a job or a place to stay or a car or bills or a relationship or a task or a change or whatever it may be that's in front of me. If I'm activating my faith, I should be fearless running into that, right? David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The funny part about that in Psalm is that the rod is discipline. Your discipline comforts me. And I'll only say that Marvin's the only one that understands that. Because he will be like, thank God for this misery, you know? And I was thinking, you know, he's right though. He's right. Because if it wasn't for that, it wouldn't have given me this perspective. If this wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't have been able to do that. I mean, you always think about, you know, did you ever hear the Garth Brooks song that said, thank God for unanswered prayers? You know, right? Yes. It's a famous song, right? Thank God for unanswered prayers. Well, the thing is that we can get our mindset so set on something that we can be let down. But in reality, that wasn't the path. That wasn't the answer. God had something new. He had something brighter. He had something better for us. But we were dead set. I remember I used to, a long time ago, I was young. I'm going to admit that right now. I was young. But I prayed really hard about a relationship. I wanted one more chance to try to make it work. Begged God to give me one more chance to make it work. Wasn't in the cards. But now, you know, 25, 22 years later, praise God for unanswered prayers. Right? That was funnier than you guys know. Anyways, in Israel's creator, in Genesis 1, God created the heavens, the earth out of nothing. The Lord God created the nation out of Israel, nothing, made her a great nation. In light of what the Creator has done, He certainly has the power to create something new in your life. Right? He created the entire universe and the nation and all the Israelites and the seed of David through Jesus all the way to us. He absolutely can intervene in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Your king. The earlier people demanded a king like other nations, and God gave them Saul, David, Solomon. However, God just wanted to be their king. But people have such a need for tangible things that they wanted something to look at, someone to tell them what to do. But God was already there. He said, I have all you need. Right? So we're always constantly separating ourselves in the flesh is the point of that. But notice he's worded that in the present tense, I am doing. Although God worked in the past to bless his people, he is also working with them now. One reason I think this should be emphasized is because we can't see God sometimes fail in his workings in our lives because God isn't doing what we think he should be doing. That doesn't necessarily mean that he isn't working. And that's that whole preconceived notion that I've already determined what I want God to do in my life. See, the answer is, if I have predetermined what I want God to do in my life, I am already off basis. I'm already off basis because the reality of it is I should be open-minded to what he's going to do. I should be open-eared to listen to what's going to occur. My eyes should be open to what's coming my way. My heart should be open to what I can get involved with, right? Rather than determining that path for him. So what is God doing? According to the text, it's a new thing. But there's nothing like feel of something new. The pride of wearing new clothes, excitement of a baby, a new car, going into something to do people for Judah. And that's what they wanted. They wanted something fresh, something new. But see, and that's kind of what we want too. You know, we've kind of been in these old saddlebags for how long? And we're hungry to be inspired. You know, some of us have been in faith really long time. Love to reignite that spiritual fire. Because when you talk about a young Christian faith, like when you get the younger Christians and they get on fire for the Lord and just no matter what you do, you talk to them and they're on fire, on fire, on fire, on fire. You know, we want to reignite that. We want to keep that in our lives. And I believe that God definitely can do that. But sometimes, in other references and the phrases said that when God draws away, it's to draw us near so that I can chase him down and make sure that I'm spending a proper amount of time maintaining that relationship in my life. Now, you guys know as well as I do, and I've done this over the years, where how many of us have had really, really good friends and nothing's happened, nothing went wrong, but time went in between them, just time. And then enough time got in between them to where we were kind of like, oh man, I don't know about that guy. Or I don't know. You know, you run into each other, you kind of rub each other wrong or whatever. You know what I mean? Have you ever done that? You ever noticed that? Too much time got in between that relationship and all of a sudden it didn't feel like it did. But back in the day, you always thought, man, that's my number one guy. He's always going to be this way. But the time got in the way. See, that's the thing that we do. We cannot allow time to get in the way of our relationship with God. Because if you're not nurturing it, it's not going to grow. Amen? I met this guy that was very smart, and he was a relationship counselor. And he said, ultimately, you know, you're a fairly successful guy. You always invest your money. You invest money. You try to figure out what the best way to do with it, right? So, yeah. He said, well, but what are you investing into your wife? And I just never thought about it that way. I was like, what do you mean? What am I investing with? I said, well, she's your wife. She's your investment. What are you investing in her? And I was like, well, I don't know. If you look at what I do, does that really necessarily mean that I'm doing that? And we kind of went through some things. Some things fit, some things didn't. But in the reality of it all, you got to think about nurturing the relationships that you want to grow. Amen? If I want my spiritual relationship to grow, I need to nurture that and enact that and use that, whether it be talk to God 2, 3, 4 times a day, stay in my word at a specific time every day, make constant things that I can fall back on, that I can be secured on, that I'm growing my faith. Because that's what enacts and keeps that spiritual relationship with me and him strong. But see, because it's so easy for me to just have the knowledge that I have faith and then run with that. Like, yeah, I got faith. You believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. And I just run with that every day, every day, every day, every day. Never fill the gas tank back up. 110 miles an hour. Never fill the gas tank. Never fill the gas tank. What do you think is going to happen? Right? Faith is a progressive, measurable outcome, meaning that we have to apply it every single day for patterns of growth. We have to implement it into our lives and use it in everything that we do. So wouldn't you love to see God do something in your life and in your church today? I know I would. The phrase springs up refers to the blades of grass coming out of the ground or the opening of the flower. Be watching and observing for the workings around you. So when God enacts the flower to blossom, so can he enact us to blossom in that same way. Amen. We just have to be receptive to him to do that. One of the things that God was going to do is he would be new and make the road through the wilderness. Well, the wilderness is untamed. It's uncharted territory. Making a road through it would be extremely difficult. God promises to make that path and that road so you and I can follow him through this deep wilderness. God can do the impossible, the extremely difficult things. And what God is about to do will even be more wonderful than what he's done before. And here's something else I want you guys to grasp from this message. The second new thing God was going to do was make a river in the desert. Deserts are dry, desolate places. Desert is a wasteland. Nothing grows there. Maybe you will feel like your life is a wasteland. Maybe you feel dry, barren, no hope is growing. Maybe you feel surrounded by trouble, tragedy, misfortune, heartache, discouragement, decline, and ruin. You are in that desert or wasteland spiritually. Well, take cheer, my friend, because God is going to do something new for you. And I think about that. I think about that in my life. And I know that all these roads come down. I believe that God can come through and make that super highway in my life. I'm looking for it. You know, how many of us have been on our feet? Like, take Jose's testimony, for example. He was here earlier. He had to go. He had a truck broke down. Here's a gentleman that had to go to prison and comes back from prison and then names his business after God, puts a signet of faith on his trucks and becomes successful because he changed his life around. Now he's doing prison ministry to half the friends that I was in trouble with that are still gone. And he knows my personal friends personally and works with them and spiritually counsels them from federal prison. Right? And he's successful and he's doing well. But what is success? To me, success is when God shot that sun down on the flower and it blossomed and it was beautiful. Right? It's not financial. Success is spiritual. It's here. When you know that God's in your heart and in your way, you already have everything you need. Amen? When God is with you, you have everything. He said, if God be for us, what'd he say? Who be against us? Nothing. Nothing. If God is for us, nothing is against us. Our problem is that we want what God wants to offer. We want his direction, his path, and his road for the wilderness. We want the blessings to come in like the river in the desert. But the problem is that we want God's blessing on our terms. We don't want to have to attend church services faithfully or tithe or develop prayer to get God's blessings. And we must be willing to be obedient in all his ways. God wants to give us that abundant life in Christ that we're setting, but we're settling for mediocrity. And that's the whole thing that I don't want to do. That's the whole thing that I want you to do. Is like in life, in school system, you can get a B and it can be good enough. Amen. But in God, we need to strive for that A plus every time, every avenue, all in, all the way, every time. And that's how we get there. We just make up our mindset today that I'm going to walk in the manner of what I've learned, and I'm going to take the hits that come my way with faith and not allow my determination to be taken away from me. That I'm determined to stay in my faith. And if I stay in my faith, then I'm guaranteed to succeed because that's what he said he will do. In conclusion, I expect us all to come to Christ today. You know, we need to come to Jesus for the first time. We need to receive his forgiveness, his salvation for sins. We need to pray for that. Others may need to come to the altar to let him renew hope for a new future. Some of us, we need to work together on a one-on-one basis, and I would encourage all of us to do that so that we can take advantage of the resources of the guys that are here. We spend more time together and do more things. Amen? Because ultimately, 2 hours on Sunday and once on Monday night isn't enough. It's a 24-hour, seven-day-a-week thing. Amen? When I go home and my alarm clock goes off in the morning, I need to wake up, and the very first thing I do is practice the presence of God. And I have a hard time with my alarm clock, but the one thing that I do is that my little trick to starting the day right is when I'm woken up, I start expressing what I'm thankful for. You know, I wake up and I'll be like, thank you for my bed. Thank you for my alarm clock. Thank you for my job. Thank you for heat. Thank you for my car. You know, and my mindset's thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. The other mindset is the snooze button, smacking the alarm clock off the table. Brr, I hate this job. I hate this drive. I hate this snow. I hate this cold. I hate this, you know, and your whole day takes off like that. But I don't want to do that. I want to wake up and I want something new in my life. So I want to take all them old thoughts, those old, you know, Yosemite Sam, grouchy thoughts out of my voice, right? I want new things, and I want new things for you. And I know God wants new things. And he said in this verse, do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Amen? And that's really ultimately what we want. We want that new spiritual growth in our lives. We want new knowledge, new spiritualism, new faith, new strength, revived spirituality, in that everything we do is affected by our faith. Amen? Filtered by our faith. Every step we take, every decision we make, that we filter that and allow God to find that new way through us. Amen?